the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, they walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. We Christians use a lot of different words to describe this God that we worship. We call him Savior, Friend of Sinners, Redeemer, Comforter, Creator. We say that God is mighty, he is kind, he is merciful, he's our righteousness, our shepherd, our king. But the story that we just read reveals of God in very different terms, at least for a time, as God the big disappointment. Here we still are on the first Easter day, and the dust has definitely not settled yet from those frightening and horrible days of Jesus' arrest and that mockery of the trial and his brutal execution. Oh, heaven's so fast. The disciples hadn't had time yet to figure out what to think about everything that had happened, except for this overwhelming feeling that Cleopas expresses so simply and directly, this feeling of huge disappointment. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. These two of Jesus' disciples, sad and weary and discouraged, were on their way home after what must have been the most terrible few days of their whole lives. And one of them was named Cleopas. From John's gospel, we know that it was probably Cleopas' wife who was one of the brave women who had stood at the foot of the cross with Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, while Jesus was dying. And not only was Mrs. Cleopas a faithful disciple, John says she's Mary's sister. So it's very likely that that second disciple that Jesus met along the Emmaus Road was his own aunt. Luke doesn't tell us for sure, but the thing that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt is that the lives of these two weary travelers had been dealt a huge and very personal blow at the death of Jesus, and all their expectations had been crushed. Jesus, this man that they loved, that they honored as a great prophet, this man of power and holiness, a man of God, he had been murdered by the very people he was supposed to have saved them from. They had been so sure that he was the one they'd been waiting for centuries. And now, even when some of the women had come back from the tomb and told them that they had seen Jesus alive, even then they just couldn't bring themselves to believe it. Their hopes were too crushed. Their hearts were too broken, and all they could think of to do was to walk those 7 long, weary miles back home to Emmaus. And it was on that road of disappointment that they met Jesus. And how many of us have traveled that road before? How many of us have found ourselves faced with a situation where we felt utterly disappointed, where we felt completely let down by God? It seems to me that one of the greatest claims to truth in the Bible, one of the reasons I trust it so much, is that the pages of Scripture are not peopled with these godly men and women whose faith is always steadfast and whose lives are just as squeaky clean and orderly as the characters in a Hallmark movie, and whose every conversation sounds like the lyrics to a worship chorus. There are Christian books that are a lot like that. You can see it right away in the cover paintings with their neat, attractive people and their idyllic scenery, and they all seem to be painted in shades of pink and purple and green pastel. But the Bible's not like that. Bible people have messy, broken lives just like we do. Bible people do and say stupid things and even wicked things just like we do. And Bible people put their hopes in God and then get crushed with disappointment when he seems to have let them down spectacularly. Bible heroes get crushed sometimes, like Cleopas and his wife trudging home from the tragic devastation of the crucifixion of the one that had been so sure was the Messiah of God. And is there anybody here who doesn't know what that must have felt like for them? Haven't we all felt that kind of dismay and disappointment? It's that kind of brutal honesty that's one of the things that makes me trust the words of the Bible. But the other thing that makes me trust the words of the Bible is that the story doesn't end there. Because Jesus came alongside these two disciples in their grief and their disappointment. And the first thing he did was that he listened to them. He listened as if he didn't know anything about what had been happening. He let them tell him every detail of what they and his other friends had suffered since he'd last seen them. And that listening was a huge gift to them. I can remember the night of my father's funeral, lying in my parents' big bed with my mom and listening to her tell me the story of my father's death several times over. What happened first? What happened next? What decision she had to make? Why she had to make them? Who said what? Over and over, pretty much all night long, she needed to tell me. Just as these disciples in their grief needed to share their grief with somebody who would listen to them. And Jesus, the risen Savior of the world, fresh from the tomb, he came quietly alongside these people he loved just to listen to them, just to be there for them in their grief. And it was only after he had listened to them that he began to speak to them and to show them that what seemed to them to have been the most ungodly tragedy they could ever imagine had actually been in the hand and mind of God from the very beginning. What had seemed to be the victory of death was in reality the triumph of life. It was a plan that had been written from the very beginning of time. And And Jesus, though they still didn't know it was Jesus, made them able to see how all the pieces fit together, how it all happened, just as it had to happen. How even the brutality of the Romans and the vindictiveness, which is hard to say, of the Jewish leaders, even those were no more than just instruments in this great and beautiful work of salvation that God had ordained out of his great love for all people. And later on, after they had recognized Jesus, they said to one another, "Didn't your heart just burn within you as he spoke to us?" Yes, did you feel that too? And I think as we grow, as we get older, as we have time and opportunity by the grace and the guidance of God to look back on those big griefs and disappointments of our life, we are often, not always, but often able to begin to see what has happened from God's perspective rather than our own perspective. So that just like those disciples, our disappointment and our dismay are transformed to thankfulness and to peace. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, that same Spirit that spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he speaks to us, sometimes through his word, sometimes through his words in other people, sometimes in the quiet of our own hearts and minds. But however he speaks to us, he reveals the good purposes of God to us, his good plans for us, that were formed for us from before we took our first breath. And so over the course of our lives, just like his disciples on the road to Emmaus, we gradually come to see the loving hand of God in so many of those things in our lives that just seemed unmitigated disasters when they first happened. And he reveals to us that even in the darkest times when it seemed, when it felt like the evil of the world had overwhelmed us and separated us from everything that was good, even then, he was present with us. He was never absent. Those are the things that our Lord teaches us when we're able to listen to him. Well, 7 miles is a pretty long way to walk, especially for us modern people that zip everywhere in our cars. But it's a long way anyway, and especially when you're exhausted with sorrow and fear and sleeplessness before you even began, and the sun was getting low in the sky. And can you even imagine how tired Cleopas and his wife must have been as they drew near their house? And yet, even then, they wouldn't hear of their new companion going on alone. They invited Jesus in, who was a complete stranger to them, as they thought. And they invited him to share their evening meal and to spend the night in their home. They insisted, Luke says, they urged him strongly, and he accepted their offer. God, the God who created the universe, accepted the hospitality of these plain old human beings. And again, we recognize in this story how God so often reveals himself to us in the face of people who need us, the poor, the homeless, the friendless, the stranger. There isn't any way for us to know if they would have recognized Jesus at all, if they'd gone into their house and let the stranger just go on his way to find a bed and a meal for himself. But they chose to show him kindness, and we know they saw Jesus. But the actual moment of their recognizing Jesus is the very heart of this story. They opened their door to this stranger and offered him a place at their table, and they would certainly have given him water to wash his weary, dusty feet. And as their guest, they invited him to offer a blessing for the meal. And this is the moment. This is the moment. Jesus took the loaf of bread in his hands. He said the blessing over it. It would have been the Jewish table blessing. He broke the bread and he gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they knew suddenly it was Jesus sitting there at their table. And then just as suddenly as they saw him, he was gone. And I don't think they felt hungry or tired or sad or disappointed any longer, but they got up and they hurried all those 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell everybody the good news that Jesus was alive. And of course, everybody was finding it out at the same time. And you can just imagine the joy. Hey, I saw him too. Peter saw him. The women saw him. And then Jesus was there too. And this is really the heart of the story for us. because Jesus himself ordained that breaking of the bread as the particular special sign of his presence with us, all of his disciples, for all generations. And that's why every week we do what we're going to do in just a few minutes, in communion with the body of Christ in every part of the world, past and present and future, and even in communion with the angelic beings who are his servants. We take the communion bread, we say the words of blessing that he taught us himself. This is my body. This is my blood. We break the bread as his body was broken for us, and we give the bread into the hands of his people. And in the moment of that sharing of the bread, we recognize the face of our Lord in the sign of the bread and wine, but also in everybody here, in our brothers and sisters who share the bread with us and who are his body present in the world. And it's his presence with us that cures our sadness and our weariness and our disappointment and gives us strength to go out and do the work he has given us to do. That's what we pray at the end of the service. So now, as we close, I wanted to invite you to pray again with me the collect that I prayed at the beginning of the service. It's in your bulletin. Asking our Lord Jesus that as we share the bread and the wine with one another this morning, he will graciously allow us to see his face and to be encouraged by his presence among us. Everybody have it? Let us pray. O God,
whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming works, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
People is on page 389, form 5. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. for the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love, and be found without fault at the day of our coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our presiding Bishop Love, our own Mother Catherine, and all ministers and bishops, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the Church, that in his faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and people, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in position of public trust, President Trump, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those who are present, and for those who are absent, that we may deliver from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being free from anxiety, that they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of the ever-blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints, let us commend ourselves to one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord our God.
I invite you to add your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let's confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Confession is found on page 360. Christ. you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Here with